Welcome to South End Supporters, a St. Louis City SC podcast powered by Ready to Live Wellness. David Heck alongside Eric Cole. Eric, how are we doing this evening, sir?
I tell you what, watching that game Saturday night, I felt like I was through a workout at Ready to Live Wellness after that one.
I'm telling you, man, I needed an ice bath after that game, which you could get at Ready to Live Wellness, by the way. It was a wild one, wasn't it?
Yeah, back and forth all night. I mean, to me, definitely the most exciting game of the week throughout the league. But, I mean, we knew this was going to be a tough game and a tough Western Conference rival, and I think the game delivered, really. I saw somebody put something out that really stuck with me. Somebody put something to the fact of, like, both teams leaving that night felt disappointed with the result, which I think is a pretty accurate representation of how the night felt. I think both teams kind of felt like maybe they let one go, maybe more so for LA just for the performance out well, and then for us just late minutes kind of letting that thing go.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating when you see the game play out and then not get the points that were on the table for you, essentially. I think going into it, especially when you compound that with the week previous, thinking about going on the road back-to-back weeks and grabbing 2 points, not dropping one, like that's pretty successful, I would say.
At this point. I agree. Knowing that it was going to be an uptick in difficulty level with our opponent as well, going into it, I think we said prior to, we come out of there with any sort of points, you look at that as a good thing. And then also knowing you're going into it with injuries. So
that's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I know obviously we're close to three, but I think at the end of the day, you come away with this going back home with a point, still undefeated.
Yeah, still undefeated. Not everybody giving the team a lot of love so far. We'll spend some time on it and diving in. Not that it really matters. At the end of the day, it's all about the standings. And where City sits currently is fifth in the West. They sit with one win, no defeats, as we mentioned. One of the few teams. How many teams?
I think nine still, but I mean, hey.
Yeah, out of 29 total in both conferences and the league total. 3 draws there. It's a +2 goal differential, 6 total points. As I mentioned, fifth in the West. LA Galaxy, essentially the same team statistically at this point. One win, 3 draws, no losses. They sit just barely above. Same goal differential. I think they've scored one more goal total. So they sit at fourth in the West. But, I mean, essentially, for all intents and purposes, in the same exact spot. It was a similar lineup, I think, to what we've seen thus far. You had a back line of Markanik, Nielsen, Yarrow, and Toteland. Obviously, no Parker in this one. Cilo, Ostrak, Durkin, and Vasilev. No Blom in this one.
Yep. Still backed up.
Yeah, and Jackson was, I guess, again, playing a little bit, maybe in front of Klaus or behind Klaus, I should say.
Yeah, I wonder like what Carnot kind of gives him as his role, because you do see him float high with Klaus a lot of times to where it almost looks like he's in a 4-4-2. But we kind of know that formation, and we know that typically he'll come back to receive the ball and try and link up with Klaus. But yeah, I mean, little rotation, which again is what we asked for. I think everybody on the socials, because nobody knew what was coming, the Parker news, not even on the bench, was a big surprise. I guess Carnell said that he felt tightness in his back, and so it was just precautionary. But I think anytime you just hear now a player feeling something, there's that worry. And then, you know, a couple days prior, we got the Leuven news where it looks like it might be 2 weeks until he's reevaluated for hamstring. And it's, again, something he felt in training. And so he'll be out. They said 2 weeks. I know last time Leuven was hurt, they gave him the whole 4 to 6 week timeline, and he came back closer to the 4. So we're kind of hope, I don't know, you know, they're so vague with how they, you know, word these things. I don't know if he's getting reevaluated in 2 weeks, if they think he could be back in 2 weeks. Not really sure. I guess they're going to obviously be keeping an eye on him, you know, day to day. But, and then obviously Blom still being out, he was listed as, you know, he's an option, but clearly must not have been ready to go to be left out. So, I mean, those are 3 big players you're going to traveling without, not even an option off the bench. And so it was pretty expected, as I would say, as far as the lineup goes. And I mean, really, it's, we're getting used to seeing most of these people as regulars, possibly in the starting lineup anyway. So I don't think there was anybody that, maybe Ostrak just off play, but I mean, who else are you going to really, I think it's too early to maybe give Kojima that big of a start. So Ostrak with the experience getting that play in the midfield, but I mean, really, it's no big surprises, I think.
Yeah, I want to spend some time on Jackson, and we'll get into it here in the first minute. I mean, he had an opportunity to capitalize and got one on net, but it was kind of weak. Not struck particularly well. I think he might be the most polarizing player on this team right now. It seems like it. A lot of people are frustrated with this play, mm-hmm. and I mean, there are a lot of people, I think, that still really love the guy. I mean, he does bring a lot of energy, and he does run around the field. You talked about it at the beginning of this when we kind of got started. Was like, look, I mean, he sometimes plays up. He will drop back. I mean, he is kind of all over the place. And again, like, he is fast. He does play with a lot of energy and a lot of tempo. But it's one of those situations right now where it feels like fans, I think, in large part, are getting maybe a little bit frustrated, and this seemed like maybe that's one of the reasons why, because I mean he did have an opportunity and just couldn't capitalize.
Yeah, I think their big issue, and you know, you could say the same with Klaus at the moment, is statistic wise nothing's really jumping off the paper for either of them. But in this game, I did note something that they both improved on a little bit was just chance creation. I think I saw a stat where AZ actually led our team that night in stat creation. Chance creation.
Yeah.
And so while on paper and statistically it looks like these guys aren't doing it, and then I saw somebody else comment, yeah, but nothing's happening from it. And do you put that then on AZ or Klaus when they pass it off to somebody else? Now, do I also think there's been quite a few chances for both of them to capitalize on these chances? Sure. And maybe that's where I feel like, you know, you could give them a little bit of, you know, grief at this moment. Especially for, unfortunately, Klaus's sake, when you have Sam, who's been, right, you know, performing well, I think you still have to look at, there has to be rotation. You have to try and build this guy's confidence. You're seeing it with Klaus now when he's missing these opportunities. He's just looking more and more frustrated. And almost what I'd love for Klaus is for us to get a PK and him take it. Kind of like Leuven did last year with Nico.
Yeah.
Something to just kind of, it may be simple, but put him on the score. Just get that kind of, you know, as we've talked about with this team, swagger back in his step. Not saying that he's lacking it, or he probably is, but just that slow confidence of knowing, all right, yeah, I can still do this. It does wonders for a striker especially. And then with AZ, one thing I think he has improved on is he's improved on the quickness of his decision-making in the final third. It's just sometimes when it comes to his finishing ability, I think that's where it's a little bit off, because he's still creating chances.
Yeah.
He's still, I think, you know, he played the corner for a goal later. He puts the ball in dangerous areas and sets up the players. If they're not finishing it, do you really look at AZ as the issue on there? And also right now with, you know, these injury woes we're having, who do you replace him with at this moment? I think especially with Leuven being out, as far as in the middle of the field looking to be creative, I think you go to AZ for that. So maybe while Leuven's out, you know, you keep him in there. But I think sometimes, you know, obviously on the socials, everybody's real quick. And we were kind of talking about this beforehand, where I feel like soccer's the biggest sport where, you know, a bad game or two and people are real quick to be like, this guy's got to go.
Sure.
Even Carnell, you know, a couple earlier in the season, people were like, what are we giving him a contract? It's like, guys, we're two games in or whatever it was. So I think they're quick to kind of jump, and it's a result-based sport because there aren't as many chances or opportunities. But I think their play is getting better. It's just maybe not statistically showing it.
So I was thinking about this over the weekend, and I actually brought this up to Sarah, my wife. We were driving, and I said, you know, I think there's a parallel to be drawn here with baseball a little bit. The best hitter that I ever saw in my lifetime was Albert Pujols, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even Albert, as great as he was, didn't hit 300 for a career, which means he failed 7 out of 10 times at the plate. More than 7 out of 10 times at the plate, he failed, right? Those guys go 0 for 5 all the time. It happens, you know what I'm saying? So when you think about, you know, actual shots, like, it's a game in which goals are a premium. There's not a lot of them scored. It's just the way that it is. To expect guys to go out and put up numbers, sexy numbers, we'll call them, assists, goals, that sort of thing, every night,
yeah,
it's just not going to happen. There's 11 guys on the field. They're not all going to score, and they're not all going to get assists, and there's other things that they're doing that's causing them to contribute, right? And so I'm not a soccer expert. I've never pretended to be a soccer expert, but I can't look at this and objectively say, like, AZ Jackson's got to get pushed to the bench at this point when we're four games into a season. And last year, everybody's talking about how we can't lose this guy to Europe, you know, because he's being scouted all over the board. In reality, like, I don't know, and I don't think he played bad. We'll talk about the performance. Like, there were some things that he did that were really good. So it's just one of those things where it's like, I don't think people need to be as quick to jump to, oh my God, we're panicking. You know what I'm saying? We're four games into a season. We haven't lost yet. Like, let's just relax.
And another thing too, I think a lot of people who are maybe new to this year, they're used to the European model where let's just go buy somebody better. Like, oh, it's not that, not that simple in this league too, you know, and both him and Klaus are just those types of players too, where if they can get hot, they could be our best players of the season.
Sure.
I mean, so
you still see more number nine jerseys around City Park, I think, than anybody else.
I mean, I think it's just also a look at right now, especially is who would you rather in that position? Because the people that normally play that position would say maybe Ostrock, and Ostrock really hasn't lived up to, you know, the talent that he has. I do think he played better Saturday night for sure. But from the other chances that we've seen of him, I wouldn't put him over AZ. And then, you know, Indy's played that role, but currently he's playing out wide and, you know, he's filling that role pretty well. And especially with Alm still coming back, you know, maybe once Alm gets up to full fitness, then you try Indy in that role. But it's, I think with what we have right now, you have to be thinking like AZ's with that position. If they're going to run that formation and that style of play, he runs for you. He creates chances. He works the press just like you ask him to do. I think just maybe if he could get a little bit more clinical with his finishing. And that's the other thing too. I thought about this. I was thinking about this today. We don't see what goes on in training. We don't know what these guys are doing. Maybe in training he's banging them in like it's no big deal. And then he just can't seem to get it to go, whereas other guys in training aren't doing it as well. And then you're going to be telling that guy who just stellar in training that he's not playing. We don't know the whole story. I know what we're seeing. It's got to improve. Our finishing as a whole,
no question,
as a team, has to improve. But I don't. My first thought when I'm looking at this team is thinking AZ's the issue.
I get asked all the time where the best place is to watch City games, and the answer is always the same. It's Felix's Pizza Pub, and it's not even close. Not only can you watch every single home and away City game surrounded by fans, but you can do it while enjoying the best pizza in the area. Now, I like the Murphy Pie, which is chicken, wing sauce, green onions, blue cheese, and jalapeno ranch. But maybe that's not your thing. Maybe you're more of a fan of a traditional pizza. Then check out the Dogtown with Italian sausage, pepperoni, and pepper bacon. Or maybe you're like my partner Eric over here and you like a little bit of both. It doesn't matter what your tastes are because you can order any of the pizzas at Felix's by the slice. But it is no ordinary slice. Felix's offers the largest slice you are going to find anywhere in St. Louis. So mix and match. Try different pizzas. Just make sure to save room for their award-winning double trashed wings in buffalo, jalapeno ranch, or Thai chili. And if you're looking for something to do during the week, head to Felix's every Tuesday night for Stoned Trivia to test your knowledge in the most fun bar trivia around. Even if you're not a trivia buff, you can still win great prizes, so show up at 7 and be ready to have some fun. It's Felix's Pizza Pub, located at 6401 Clayton Avenue in Dogtown, and check them out online at Felix's Dogtown. Yeah, I agree completely. I don't think that that's the problem, and I don't think the answer is to put him on the bench either. That could change. But it could also change the other way, you know, and I think that it is such a results-oriented sport, as you mentioned earlier, that if AZ comes out and puts one in the net or gets an assist or something next week, you know, and he's in the starting lineup, you're not going to see that as much anymore, right? So people have a very short-term memory, and it's the way that it is. I think when you're playing one game a week, you know, that's what you have. So you got 6 days, essentially, to think about what you would do to kind of Monday morning quarterback this
and
thing,
even
right?
Yeah, you look at like even the socials, it's hot Sunday and then by Tuesday it's calmed down. I'm just as guilty of it at home during the games. I'm saying everybody's terrible. You just get fired up. I love the passion though. I love that fans, it shows sport. They're passionate, where I think it, you know, is just a little bit, you know, take a step back a little bit is when they're like, we got to sell this guy, or, you know, to that extreme, it's like, all right,
yeah,
let's maybe work a different angle and, you know, go from there.
Eric, we could spend probably 2 hours on this game because the fast paced nature of it, back and forth. I texted you during it. I think it was maybe the most exciting soccer game I've seen ever. I don't watch a lot of them, right? I just am recently, you know, into it over the last couple of years. But for, I think, a casual fan, if you were looking to try and grow the sport a little bit, like turning this one on, I think would really generate some interest in it because it was just so back and forth from the beginning. Unfortunately, City lost the draw, or the tie, I should say, there in the third minute as Galaxy had scored the first one to kind of break that scoreless draw. So again, you're talking about a chance for City right out the gate, and then Galaxy coming down, scoring almost immediately following that. It was Dejan Jovetic, who got his name called a whole lot during this one. Assisted from Audi. Man, Galaxy had numbers, and it just, there was not much Burke you could do.
Yeah, I mean, we said going into the game, I think he was on a three-game, you know, he scored three straight games. I mean, he was on fire, and, you know, that whole front four, we could say, of, you know, Puig, we said, or Puig running the midfield, just kind of like we said, and then Fagundes and Paintsil, who will also say his name, unfortunately, a lot tonight, and then Jovetic up top. And this was just one where they just caught us on the counter just kind of real quick. Puig plays it out wide, and I just felt like we were kept trying to make recovery runs for a defender. Totlin kind of missed the tackle over there, so then Jaro had to shift over to kind of help with that. And as Jaro shifts over, then Nielsen had to shift over even more. And so we're kind of caught out of position defensively when they're coming on the counter. And then it's slotted in. Markanić loses his footing, which was a common theme on the night. I don't know what was going on the pitch. I saw a lot of people losing their footing all that. But
yeah,
Jovetic,
Markanić was getting slammed on the socials.
You know, and it's just, yeah, definitely. And I can't really say it's not fully rightly.
My favorite post, honestly, just kind of a sidetrack, is somebody had posted the back of Paintsil's jersey.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah.
Number 28.
He's seen a lot of this.
Markanić was like, yeah, he was like, Markanić, this is Markanić's view all night.
That's a great one. But yeah, I mean, he's left wide open in the box and slots it in. Nothing Berkey could do. It's just, again, I don't feel like we're necessarily playing bad defensively as far as our actual one-on-one defense. It's just still marking and tracking these runs as they're coming through, especially on the counters. And this is just one where it just seemed like, you know, obviously first 5 minutes are settling in, but it's just like too much shifting, too many people kind of just, I'll take it. And then the next thing you know, the guy's wide open in the box, slots it in, and not the way we wanted to see that start. Especially, we knew that was going to be a tough opponent going in anyway. Scoring 3 minutes in, you're like, oh, this might be a long night.
I mean, and it got worse before it got better.
Yeah.
I mean, it was chance after chance after chance for LA early on. I mean, a few minutes later, Burkey made an insane save.
Yeah.
Fagundes had taken a cross just outside the six and blasted it at Burkey, but the reaction time was just insane, as it really was. I mean, three goals, you wouldn't necessarily think that is like indicative of a great keeper performance, but my God, he played amazing.
Unreal. Unreal. I mean, that game we could have lost by 8 goals had it not been for him. I don't know how many. Just the biggest and most impressive thing is, like you said, just from how point blank this is, and it's not like it hits him. He reacts to this and makes the save. And so right from there, you're right. You're thinking, man, this is getting worse. And you're almost thinking, we could really be in for a long night if we don't settle down and kind of get into this game.
If Burkey gets man of the match, then I would say that the posts probably are right behind him as far as like an assistant or an alternate man of the match. That 14th minute, how wild was that?
Two
posts hit there. Ricky Puig had struck it super hard right off the post, and then Jovetic comes up for a header on the rebound and goes off the crossbar. Super scary. I couldn't believe that didn't find the net.
I can't either. I mean, again, we talked about how dangerous Puig can be, and he creates space out of nothing and just, you know, finesses this beautifully. Luckily for us, it's off the crossbar and it just bounces. Jovetic reacts quicker than Jaro, which, again, you know, those second balls, we got to get a little bit better on our reacting time. But he reacts quicker, wide open net.
Wow.
If he would have picked any corner, it's an easy header, or just head it down. I know it's tough, you know, you're running full speed and the ball's high, but
sure,
you would think, you know, the way he's been in the form he's been, just pick a corner. And then to hit it off the crossbar again, I think shortly after that, I tweeted something like, I think we're going to sign these posts for like a short-term loan because, man, it was just such a wild sequence. And again, you're just thinking, good Lord, boys, let's get it going.
Yeah, and they did. And like, again, it was scary there, but this was so just wide open. And maybe if you're like a fan of really technical soccer, you didn't like this. But for me, it was just so entertaining.
Yeah.
City gets one, though, man. 26th minute. You mentioned Oestrak at the beginning of this thing. And we've talked about him a little bit. I think there's been some disappointment just based on maybe what we've seen so far and how like the level of talent that we believe that he might be able to play at. But he finally gets one, man, and this was one that he created from the beginning. Gets the turnover on the press, dribbles past the defender, not necessarily past the defender, almost through a defender, and stays with the ball and then puts it in the back of the net. That was beautiful.
Yeah, I think something that, you know, has increased and gotten better and just, it, you know, you hope with the style we play is the press has been, you know, causing a lot of disruption and turnovers, and it's doing what we hope. And again, you working at as a unit is why that's working, but good for him, man. I mean, the biggest thing I noticed different from him that night that I've kind of been critical on him before is he just seemed like he went to get the ball more. Normally, it just seems like he goes missing throughout the night, and you're just like, I haven't heard his name all night. Whereas he went to like try and actually receive the ball a little bit more. Maybe it's just the realization of like he has to because we're relying on him because, you know, you're looking for Durkin just to stay back and be defensive. But again, he just reads his play well, sticks with it, and then keeps his composure because you got to still do that even if you're on a breakaway, slots it in. And it was just good to see a response after that. You know, we talk about it all the time. Like, you don't want to be that team that's dominating. A team just catches you off guard.
Right.
And you just kind of felt like we got one there, like against the run of play. I know we had turned a couple chances prior to it, but, I mean, nothing really that I think stood out crazy. Other than that AZ ball into Indy, but I mean, that's again another tough one. But it just was good seeing that, okay, maybe we are turning this around, maybe we finally settled in after their wild run, you know, home field advantage and everything. And so to see him kind of do that and see somewhat of a short period of time change, it felt like we were on the right track.
One thing's for sure, nobody can take away from is that this team does not lay down when they're losing. Like, how four games into the season, it seems like they've been down a lot, but they just keep clawing back.
And last year too, I think we led the league in like comeback either points or wins. Like, you, it's something that I'm proud of with our team is there is no ever say die. Like, you feel like no matter what you're in the game, you just feel like there's still a chance for City.
And on the flip side of that too, when City's up, it seems like they don't take off the gas pedal then either and keep pushing and pushing. There was a game last year, I can't remember which one it was, but it was like, I think we were up by like, you know, two or three or whatever. It was like they won another one and another one and another one. They just kept scoring over and over. It might have been Austin.
Which I love because I hate so bad the park the bus mentality. I don't think it ever works. I think you're just asking for, you know,
it's
trouble
like the, it's
doing
like the prevent defense in football.
Yeah, it's, you know, not going to work.
Sitting back and letting him put pressure and pressure and pressure you.
Eventually you'll break, and then they have all that momentum, and you're stuck on the bus.
Yeah. Payne still hit another post after this.
Yeah.
That was in like the 32nd minute. The third of three posts finally that got hit. I mean, you think about it, again, the saves the Berkey made, but, man, they were so close. This game could have gotten out of hand.
This game, like, it could have been way worse. It may be like, this game could have been the way the socials made it seem.
Yeah, and that's why I think, like, yeah, both teams probably, when it's all said and done after the 90-plus 13 that got played in this one actually took place, you know, I think that both teams probably went back to their locker rooms and got on their buses or their planes and probably said, you know, we had this.
Like,
this was ours for the taking. But I do think this stings a little bit more for the home team here. You know,
I agree.
It just has to. It just has to. So, and especially when you think about all of these opportunities and chances. I mean, City did outshoot, statistically speaking, like 19 to 16 or 17, I think.
Yeah.
But 8 shots on target for LA Galaxy to just 4 for City. And I don't believe that's taking in the posts into account to that either. So right. Think about all, like, I mean, that's 11 shots that were a fraction of a few inches away from potentially, you know, finding the back of the net.
No, that's a great point. I do feel like, yeah, both teams felt like they maybe let one go there on the night. But I do think at the end of the day, I think LA is maybe the team more thinking that they let one go just for performance sake. Hey, if you're a coffee lover like me, then you've got to try some of the best local coffee there is from Postal Coffee. Will over at Postal Coffee is super passionate about his roasting process, and it really shows in every bag. Every small batch is made to order from small visited sustainable farms, so you really get that great flavor and get that care in every order. Also, 20% of all profit goes to veteran suicide prevention. So not only are you getting a great tasting product, but you're supporting a great cause as well. And if you use the code SOUTHEND at checkout, you'll receive 15% off your entire first order. Nothing goes better to start your day than a new episode of SOUTHEND Supporters and a cup of Postal Coffee. So check them out on their Instagram at Postal Coffee Co. and check out their website at postalcoffeeco.com.
After getting stepped on the head, Totland gets bandaged up, and we play 5 minutes of stoppage time in
what
the first
warrior,
half.
Man.
My goodness, I'm telling you.
He's really quickly become a big fan favorite.
So my son, he's new to the team, obviously, right? So my son's watching it with me, and he's like, man, I like the guy with the red headband. Because you know, we like watched him get bandaged up and everything. I'm like, that's pretty awesome. I thought the 5 minutes of stoppage time in the first half, especially considering that, was probably pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. As we get into the second half, I want to definitely spend time as we get towards the back of it talking about the 8 minutes of stoppage time that took place at the end of it. But of course, we'll kind of move on from that and get to it on the back end of this 51st minute. Finally, the 1-1 draw is now broken. It had been a while since a goal had taken place, but a lot of opportunities we had mentioned. Payne still scores. Going back to that social post, Markanic was beaten and was looking at his jersey the rest of the time. Unfortunately, now 2-1.
Yeah, this was just another so many runs that Paintsil was doing all night. And a couple things that I was noticing, not just his pace, but you could just tell the difference in experience level with the runs that he was making. I felt like Markanic sometimes got caught up too much watching the play and not maybe keeping track of the man. So then Paintsil gets an extra step on him because he's thinking ahead. There was just too many times where I would look and the ball would be playing to Paintsil and Markanic's looking midfield and has almost no clue that he's there. And then pace for pace, he's just not going to hold up to Paintsil. So, I mean, it was just, I mean, clear. And the other thing that was kind of frustrating with it is that was like the fifth or sixth run that had happened. At some point, cheat out on the guy. Yeah. Keep him out there. You know, even if you have to expose a little bit, he's clearly just destroying us right now. I think you got to maybe change up your defensive tactics a little bit if you're Markanic. And so gets through, just wide open space, slots it far post under Berkey's hands. I mean, it's one that unfortunately with the way he was playing all night, you kind of felt like it was coming. I mean, he created opportunities, but I mean, he also had his own opportunities many times throughout that night.
Yeah, he played amazing. The other guy that played amazing, though, for City, we talked about man of the match, was Berkey. Made another amazing save, a through ball in the 58th minute that was played by Puig. Jovalich took it, and another just amazing save. I don't know if this was the best one, but it certainly was one of the top maybe two or three. Again, amazing reaction time. The guy is so explosive, so quick, so strong back there. Eric, I have a question for you, sir. If you wanted to get explosive, strong, and quick, where would be the place to go?
I got the perfect place for you, David. It is Ready Live Wellness. I mean, if you're looking to do anything as far as improving your overall health and wellness, I mean, this is the place. They've got CrossFit, personal training, yoga, massage, physical therapy, chiropractors. They got movement specialists to make sure you are even moving in the proper way. Or if you have a little hitch here or there, they can work on ways to help you fix it. And pretty soon they're going to have a full recovery and spa coming with sauna and cold plunge, steams, everything that you could need, whether you're an athlete looking to improve that explosive performance or you're just a newbie just trying to get in the best shape you can. They've got it all for you. They're going to make sure you do it safely and have fun while doing it. They have great staff. Everybody's super friendly. So it's a great spot. Make sure you go check them out. They're at 1530 South Kings Highway Boulevard, just off the 6440 exit, and then make sure you're following him at R2L Wellness on Instagram.
Get a cold plunge after the game. Berkey probably could have used a cold plunge, as well as a lot of these players.
I'm sure, yeah, they were probably needing that before that long trip home.
2-1 going into the 60th minute, but that's when City comes roaring back, and this is where AZ started to get involved a little bit. He was taking corners, which we haven't seen a lot of. Obviously, no Leuven, and this is not the side that Vasilev would typically kick them from. Although last week, I think he was kicking out swingers from that same corner. But nonetheless, they go in swinger from AZ. Played a little long, perhaps, but headed on by Adeniran. And then,
first touch, too, for Adeniran, too.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he just came on. Him and was this... This wasn't when Hebert came on, I guess, at this point.
No, Hebert was later. Durr and Durr, Sam.
Yeah,
which,
there you go.
You know, hey, I was glad that we, you know, as we were just talking about Mrkonjic, I was glad that, you know, we realized, like, hey, we got to do something different after that. And you know what? I think Durr definitely earned his start for going into this next game. We'll get in a little bit more details later, but I thought he looked good. We've been kind of wondering where's he been, what's been going on with that. He's slowly getting a few more minutes. Maybe it's just a fitness thing, getting more acclimated with the team, but I thought when he came in, it made a little bit of a difference. But talk about looking like a genius for Carnell. Comes in and assists right away.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned too with Durr, and we'll get into the goal. We're so ADD today, but we'll get into the goal. Carnell has not historically messed with the back line a lot outside of injury. You know, it's been pretty consistent. It was consistent last year. Now that they've got the changes they made this year, it's been pretty consistent, I think, too. So, yeah, I'm curious to see if Durr gets that start, because I think that, and I've been a Mrkonjic fan since he came about, more so probably because of the offense that he's created from the wing.
Agreed.
Man, the performance really wasn't there, so it will be cool to see. Now, the header set up what very possibly might be goal of the week by Nielsen on a bike, and it was unbelievable.
I think everybody, like, post-game asked him, and even they were commenting, like, you know, during the game, that's a defender, that's a center back.
You know, it's
going
funny.
Overhead
so I heard the announcer say that, but I'm like, I mean, City has a lot of center back goals. It seems like not a lot of bikes.
Not a lot of bikes from center backs. I'll tell you that. And he, you know, they even kind of asked him, like, it's just instinct. You think I got to get any sort of touch on this possible. Yeah. And even like those are so tough to keep down. He even said, he was like, I put it over. Just it's, you have to get your ball wrapped around the top of the ball to get it, you know, staying down when you're doing, you know, basically laying straight up at the ceiling. And so for him to get it there and put it in the spot he did, I mean, you saw the kind of like joy from his face, but everybody else too, just kind of like, what? Yeah. And you know, the exciting thing is this isn't necessarily out of the realm. I mean, the bike is, but out of the realm as far as Nielsen. They brought up a good point. Like, he was putting in tons of, I think he had like two or three set piece corner goals when he was playing for City 2, building up his match fitness last year. Like, this is something that we've kind of hoped to see from him, is the set piece. He has that capability. And so just to, you know, like we talked about with a lot of these players, maybe it just somehow builds this confidence of like, I got to get in there more and, you know, help my team with this. Not that he hasn't been, but man, what a way to kick off your City career with a goal like that. It's leading right now on the MLS. So if you go to MLS's Twitter, they have a poll there for goal of the week, and he's up by like 4% right now. I'm sure once more City fans get on there, because to me, it's a for sure goal of the week.
It was remarkable, man. That's impressive by a striker. I mean, remember Nico last year had kind of, it was like a flick on, like a side volley type of goal that got attention. I think it might have won goal of the week as well. But seeing a guy do this, anybody at any level, is pretty impressive. Talk about a center back. It's remarkable. So a lot of fun to see. And a guy too, like, honestly, Nielsen has been the butt of a lot of,
and I don't understand that one either. I mean, I think sometimes it's just, you got to maybe just experience in watching these games. You just got to look at, you know, more positives to negatives on the night. And typically, defensively, I feel like he brings good leadership and positioning. And sometimes it's a team sport. I mean, yeah, we may give up goals, but how many can you really pinpoint directly to him? Whereas it seems like he gets a lot of the attention. And so I think it's just, again, the hype that came with him and, you know, going straight into last year, they were like, this is our best defender. He's going to be it. And I thought he's grown a lot as far as what we've seen defensively from him. Sure, he can improve on some things, but I think everybody in this team currently right now could improve on some things.
There's one guy that may not be able to improve a lot. that's Rowan Berkey at 73rd.
Yeah, that's a great point.
This might have been my favorite save, honestly. And again, it was hard to choose. There were a handful of them, but this was on a set piece at Caceres, who, man, if this game were played at City Park, City Park fans would have just absolutely been all over.
Oh, everybody's ready for him.
All over.
Everybody is ready for this, dude.
I can't wait for that one. But he took it off the set piece, and Berkey made this insane diving save to his right. That one, to me, is the one that stood out as like the best. But, I mean, God, it's hard to choose.
It's hard to choose. There was that one that he had where it was like almost like a goalie glove save where it's just the arm coming up reaction save. But this, I mean, the problem is like you almost need – you definitely need two hands for how many times Berkey is keeping us in these games. And, you know, like you brought up at the beginning of the show, like you wouldn't think a 3-goal game, you would be thinking that goalie had a stellar performance,
right?
But he absolutely did, because I don't really even feel like the goals you could pinpoint on Berkey on anything. And so I saw something else, and this is just still something that's always wild to me, still reality of thinking, is that Berkey could easily be playing in Europe or wherever. I mean, it's still so great to know that he's chosen this team, he's bought into this project that they're working on, and he seems to be, you know, enjoying it. And he's definitely a big reason why City has been successful so far.
Yeah.
It's just still wild to me seeing somebody like him make these saves and thinking, you could go a lot of places,
right,
man. Please don't.
You mentioned the goalie, like, almost glove save. He does do things that reminds me of a hockey goalie sometime. I think he had like a
kick save.
Yeah. I mean, just the way he kind of moves, you don't realize that he's in a giant net. You know what I mean? Like, he's taking up a very small percentage of the actual, you know, the actual scoring surface, right? But he does, I mean, just amazing, the quickness and the reaction times, as we had mentioned. Still, you know, it's been kind of back and forth again, a lot of that, but we get one, and this was on a corner. The set pieces, man, set piece, set piece, set piece after set piece. Just huge. You're sitting there tied 88th minute, and getting an opportunity to go ahead here was incredible. On an AZ corner again, Hebert had come in at this point. So again, Carnell looking smart. Initially, I thought that Hebert had headed this in. It was ruled an own goal by John McCarthy, the keeper. I want to talk about this for a second. Nice goal. I want to hear you break it down. Again, good service into the box by AZ. This is where I said that, like, I think he did a lot of things right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I first saw Hebert come in and I saw him mouthing back five, I was like, man, we're playing for a tie. Like, we're settling in. And he came in the 81st, and that's still a lot of time to kind of just absorb pressure. So at first I was like, I keep going. Always play like you're going for that win, I think. And a lot of times when you see these corners and you see this jostling in the box and everything, it's typically, and the ref maybe stops it sometimes to kind of talk to players, it's typically the guy who's standing in front of the goalie. Because the reason you put that guy there is he hinders that goalie's movement to come out and, you know, collect the ball or make a punch like we typically see them do. And so Hebert gets in there, and that's what he does perfectly. He still attacks the ball as if he, you know, has a chance on it, which he does, but he disrupts McCarthy's like play coming out, and it's just he mishits it off the inside of his hands when he wants to go the opposite way. And I, looking back, you saw them complaining like crazy. I know Hebert maybe gives a little slight jump back, but nothing to where I would have thought that this would have been overturned. Even they said, they were like, yeah, he maybe makes contact, but
he has a right.
He's making a play on the ball. Right? He's not looking at the goalie. It's not a clear and obvious, you know, jump back or any sort of like physical contact. But this is why you put that guy there. He disrupts the play of the goalie to give you a little bit more space for maybe an attacking defender or something, like just throw him off his game. And so, man, when you see that, you're just thinking, okay, I can't believe we're, right, you know, I can't believe we're going to steal this. And it kind of felt that way. You
that's
know,
how it felt.
89th minute and everything like that. And so, but then, yeah, like you said, you see that 8 minutes go up and you're just kind of thinking, oh no, not that long. What are we going to do?
Before we get into the stoppage time, Eric, we got a segment on the show called South End Submissions, and I have a question for you. I want to actually ask a South End Submission.
Oh, okay.
Because look.
Did you put it on our socials?
I didn't put it on the socials, man. But we had a lot of good engagement on it, and we'll definitely get to it. But as one of the hosts of the show, I can ask whatever I want, whenever I want, you know?
Yeah.
My question is this, and this might be a silly question.
There are no silly questions.
Well, I think some people might think it's silly, but you know more than me about this, so I want to ask it. The own goal, being credited as an own goal. I'm curious about this. I understand if this were headed in by a defender, right? I get that. But it went off the goalie's hands and then into the back of the net. So, like, in my opinion, if somebody shoots on net and the ball goes off the goalie's hand as he's trying to make a save and goes in the back of the net, that's a goal. So then why wouldn't this be credited to AZ since it made contact with nobody besides the goalie?
Because had that goalie not touched it, it wouldn't have gone in.
Okay.
I think typically, like you're thinking like save-wise, if it makes contact and it still goes in, there has to be like, had it not been for the goalie, that thing's going in. Same with like a deflected shot. Typically they look and see like, was that going way wide and then deflected? Unfortunately, a lot of times defenders get called on it. So in this instance, that ball on its own wasn't going to go in. And it was strictly went completely that way because of McCarthy. So that's where you put it as an own goal for that.
There you go, man. I was wondering that and I kept looking on socials. I'm like, nobody's talking about what's going on. Like, why doesn't anybody ask this question? I had to ask, Eric.
No,
lot of stoppage time. You mentioned there were 5 minutes in the first half. I think it was accounted for. I had every intention, Eric, to go back and watch this and count the time.
Me too.
That was actually should have been allocated in the second half. 8 seemed really heavy.
I feel like since that last World Cup, it just seems like stoppage time minutes are getting a little bit longer and longer. And where I think first half is pretty accurate to the actual amount of downtime on the field, I think there's almost sometimes like an extra minute or two just for gameplay put into these games. It almost feels like, while I do know there was a lot of substitutions and goals, I don't feel like it accounted for 8 minutes. Now, am I saying that's the reason we drew or they scored? No.
No.
But there's something about when you're a team down behind or your team trying to preserve a lead, seeing a big number go up that mentally hits you. You're thinking either we got 8 minutes, boys, and we're already peppering them. They're on the back ropes. We got this. That was an own goal. They haven't been doing anything otherwise. On the counter side, you're thinking we've been absorbing 45 minutes so far of just pressure. Mm-hmm. And now we have 8 more minutes, and then the crowd gets into it more when they see a big number. The players get the second jolt almost kind of energy. It just seemed, they could have said 30 seconds and I'm going to yell at the TV and be like, there's no way. But that one for sure felt, 5 or 6 to me. But
And no matter the situation, if you're behind, you want a big number. If you're up, you want a little number. And it just didn't. I don't know, man. Like, I got to go back and watch it and spend time. I saw other people talk about the number. I don't feel like, and I know what you mean as far as like the World Cup stoppage times. You had 11 minutes, 14 minutes.
It
got crazy. But I don't think I've noticed it as much in MLS play, at least in city games. Like, I just don't
not
feel
as
like
drastic
there's been
for
huge,
sure.
Yeah, huge numbers. 8 seemed like a whole lot in this second half. Like you said, probably doesn't matter, but it might have. I mean, who knows? You know, who knows how it would have played out if it were different. Berkey did get another save in the first minute of the half, but the first minute of stoppage time.
Yeah.
But in the 6th minute of stoppage time, Galaxy scored on a set piece goal by Mayo Yoshida. Now, this was, again, another set, like 3 or 4 set piece goals in this game, it seemed like, between both teams, which was a lot. City had a couple of them, this one coming from Galaxy, unfortunately. And this was one where I did see some criticism for Berkey on the socials. I mean, it's crazy to think. But what do you think went wrong here?
Same thing that I think has been going wrong for us defensively all year. It's just marking and positioning. I don't feel like defensively when we're one-on-one tackles and judging tackles and all that, I think we've been pretty good. And as a unit, we've been pretty good throughout this year. I think Totlin's been a huge upgrade at that right back position. And really up until that night, you can't say Markanik's played terrible. And then obviously Parker being out's a big miss, but Yarrow's had many games where he's been stellar for us. And it was just one where I felt like they just got the jump on us. And they just, it's just, what do you want Berkey really to do with that for a wide open header? I don't really feel like it was that close enough. Those things are such a split second decision you have to make. Say he does come out, he misses it, Berkey's out of position, that ball goes anywhere. At least Berkey staying in the goal from there. I mean, it was just a great header. It was just a great set piece, great header. I mean, that's tough to do, diving down like the way he did, and to flick it on in the way he did.
Just barely got a little bit of it, enough to like get him offline.
Yeah, it's just the way it was just put where it needed to be and placed where it needed to be. The just unfortunate part is he had that much of a step on our defender, whoever had him marked. So I don't, I know. Again, I think a lot of these posts that are put on there, it's obviously for, let's say, clickbait, some of those things.
Yeah,
and I think
so
that was
too.
Maybe one.
A lot of trolls out there.
I don't think anybody else was, I didn't read the comments, but I'm pretty sure nobody else in there was like, yeah, he should have. I think a lot of it was more like, did you not see the other 10 that he had prior to that? Like, I think this was more a defensive lapse.
So the only other thing, I mean, you're 3-3, right, going into the last couple of minutes of the stoppage time at this point. Adeniran got free up the sideline, man, and this looked like one that was going to be a real chance. Unfortunately, Caceres, who just completely, just literally tackled him, right? Like a football tackle almost, and didn't allow Adeniran to even get inside the 18. It interrupted the play. He gets a red card for it, rightfully so. I mean, this was as dirty a play as you're going to find. I think there's probably soccer purists out there and maybe some Galaxy fans that are like, this was a really smart play. You get a red card, he's out. How many games will he miss for this?
Since it was a straight red, it should be a 3-game suspension.
3-game suspension.
It was a smart... I mean, he did what he should have done. Smart foul.
Yeah.
The way he did it is where I think it could have been different. I think you get a hand on his jersey, drag him down, something a little, throwing your full body weight into Sam
Sam's
did.
A big boy,
and he
too,
even
kind
of brought the leg up a little bit. Yeah. That's the issue I had. And this dude, from little, experience I've had from watching Galaxy games throughout the past couple of years, he will be for sure when he comes to City Park, but he's always just been a boot. He's just somebody that you just find annoying. I remember he got a straight red a couple of years ago. There was a VAR check happening with him, and he went over and walked behind the ref and grabbed the ref. So they gave him a yellow, and then he did it again on the same VAR check and gets a second yellow. And he's just a dumb player who is just gonna. You saw him all throughout the night, just kind of jawing back and forth to players. He's kind of got a little bit of a wild streak as far as tackles he's made in the past. So it's not surprising coming from him, but it's one you're thinking. And I know Sam had another opportunity earlier where he kind of had time to sit back and, hit it where he wanted and kind of shanked it left. But, man, when I saw him, you even saw the whole bench get him on the side.
It felt like one
was
coming.
This is it, man. Because you knew the second he got the step on him, he was gone. Kind of like Paintsil was doing to us all night. You knew the second he got just a little space, he was in at least. And, to see it not happen. And then the free kick that followed was just,
it wasn't good.
Sorry, Celio, but that wasn't your best one. And so
that would have been one you would like to have number 10 back in.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're happy. I should be happy to get out of there with point, all things considering. But to let one go that late, you feel like we let some points go as well.
Another game, but, City again stays undefeated now. Again, one win in 4 matches, but 3 draws. So we talked last week and said one of the things that they missed last year were getting draws on the road.
I think I saw something where it said, City didn't hit their third draw until, August of last year.
That's wild,
like
right?
That. Man, that's just a crazy thing to think about.
Yeah, and you think about how many additional points could have happened if you would have had, one or two things go a different way. So, yeah, in my opinion, look, I think the 2-game road trip there was fine, I suppose. You got a couple of points out of it. You didn't get a zero in any of the games, so I mean that's a benefit there. And you turn your attention to a team who is coming off a 3-1 defeat on Saturday afternoon in Washington, D.C., and that's D.C. United on Saturday night at City Park.
Yeah, this will be an interesting one for a couple of reasons. If you watch that game, you feel like D.C. United maybe feels a little hard done by a couple missed calls by some of these refs, and which is something that is starting to make the rounds a little bit on the socials, is teams not being happy with the past couple ref performances throughout the league. So maybe this kind of is the thing that kind of helps boost this kick in the ass that the league needs to, get these regular refs back.
Ah, pay so Eric, you're pretending that the league
cares.
Yeah,
this is true. That's a terrible assumption on me. But, you know, so they're going to be coming in feeling like they got hard done by on their last game. It's an interesting team. They do have a lot of talent, and some familiar faces will be coming back as well, because if you're thinking about it, you know, Stroud and Bartlett were part of that Durkin trade, and this will be interesting as well, because this is going to be the first time, I mean, Nelson didn't play for the Galaxy, so we didn't experience that, but the first time we've had a player come back to, you know, we got to see it a lot last year with our players going to their former team and trying to have something to prove. It'll be interesting to see, you know, Stroud got a goal in that last game, and a good goal is at that. And Bartlett has been a regular, they've both been kind of regular starters for DC. So, you know, they're going to come with something to prove. Likewise, Durkin's going to have something to, you know, prove to make sure that he shows that he was worth us, you know, going to do that against his former team. So that'll be interesting to see. I think, you know, I think they're a team that can be exposed, and they were against Miami on the counter, on the break, defensive lapses. And so that's something that we can really exploit, which tells me that we're probably going to see Sam coming back into that starting 11. I think, you know, they have Benteke and Klitsch, who both have Premier League experience. They kind of typically stick with like a 4-1-3-2. That kind of seems to be the main thing that they run. So and they're going to be missing their starting regular starting left back, Pedro Santos, because he got a straight red in that last game. He'll be suspended. So it's going to be interesting. I would imagine, though, with us being back at home and kind of, you know, feeling like we need to, you know, make a move here against a team that, you know, I would consider us better than, I feel like we should be looking to pound this team and kind of, you know, exploit those things like I was talking about, their defensive lapses, whether it's on set pieces they gave away goal, as well as, you know, counterattacks, which are kind of where we get majority of our goals. So I think to exploit those and hopefully, you know, welcome friendly but still shut down completely, you know, some old familiar faces.
Yeah, if there's one person that I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, which seems like forever ago, AZ is a polarizing figure right now. Jarrett Stroud might be the most polarizing figure in this team's very short history.
I think one thing that made me laugh on the socials, like early in the year, was like one of the first goals we gave up, somebody put on the socials, they were like, that's Stroud's fault.
Stroud's fault. that's exactly right. And then there were some people that loved him. I mean, I was a big fan of his for a bit as well.
The problem is we always said he's the type of guy you like to have on your team, but you hate to play against.
So this will be the first time that a player plays against City, as you mentioned. Nelson wasn't on the field, but even then, it would have been away. So this will be the first time that a former player, albeit only played here one season.
And I don't feel like Nelson really had the impact,
no,
you would say.
No. Albeit one season. Now, granted, that's 100% of this team's history. You know, he played for City for.
Yeah.
But he'll be back. Now, you've been to other sporting events in St. Louis. Obviously, the Cardinals come to mind. And when opposing players return, that have played with the Cardinals, there's typically a big ovation. I'm curious as to see when he gets announced what the response from the crowd will be like.
That's a good question. Both him and Bartlett, really, because Bartlett was a well-liked guy. He did a couple of those guest bartending things. So, I mean, both really had, you know, I think good reputations as they left from the team. I think some people, even early on when we were struggling with our offensive thing, pointed back to being like, we let Stroud go, and that's a lot of goals that, you know, are contributions in the offensive end that we let go. So I think it's going to be typical St. Louis fashion. I think they're going to, you know, applaud him, you know, maybe lightly, not going to give him no standing ovation or anything like that. But I mean, at the end of the day, both these guys were a part of a historical inaugural season for us. And I think you can't look back on them with any negative outlook towards them. It's not like they were a reason that we didn't X, Y, Z. So
yeah, they were a part of a first place team, by the way.
I just hope neither one scores. But, you know, Stroud did it for Austin when he scored against them, his former team. You know, no celebration or none of that, because that'll be a quick way, I'll tell you that, to turn those, you know, cheers to quick boo birds.
Let me ask you this, Eric. If a crowd doesn't sit and they stand, they don't sit and they cheer, that's automatically a standing ovation, I would say.
So that's a great point. Damn, you got me.
It's coming. you would anticipate City to be favored for this one?
I would imagine being back at home, I don't feel like either team really is a standout above each other. And so I think we get that home field boost for sure.
Yeah, they are even money, plus 100 for City. So they are slight favorites. Plus 235 is where DC United sits if you look at the three-way money line there. So definitely still getting him at plus odds. I think there's some opportunity to cash in there.
And here's another reason, yeah, for sure, with that. But another point that just popped into my head that I really think we maybe give Durr the start just from his performance that he had towards the end, giving Mark Kanick that rotation. But also with a familiar face coming back, I feel like there's, you know, some easing into the starting lineup that can be given, because that's going to be who he's probably picking up most of the night. And when you have, you know, people telling you these are his tendencies, this is what he likes to do, this is how we shut him down back in the past, you know, that can help you going into it to look for things like that. And so maybe that helps boost his confidence as far as getting him in that starting 11, feeling a little bit more comfortable knowing that he's getting a lot of inside information on the guy he's going up against that, you know, typically is a little bit more than your standard scouting report.
That game will take place at City Park on Saturday night. Yeah, I guess a 7 p.m. kickoff, as usual, there at City Park. City, again, coming off that 3-3 draw at L.A. against the Galaxy. D.C. comes into this thing with one win, one loss, two draws. They are coming off that 3-1 defeat on Saturday afternoon, as we mentioned, in Washington, D.C. Should be a good one. Eric, outside of those games, what else is going on?
So we got quite a bit of news, actually, tonight. So if you didn't see, and kind of an obvious thing that should be stated, is Berkey was in team of the match day for the MLS. I mean, that was a no-brainer. I mean, that should have been obvious. We've kind of forgot to do this or check even at the beginning of the year, but as far as ESPN's rankings, they have us as power rankings, they have us at 21st.
It's crazy to me.
Which is interesting because, you know, they have like LA who have the same record and Kansas City who have the same record at like 9th and 12th. So yeah. I would love to know their reasoning. For this week, they put, it's rare that your goalkeeper steals the spotlight in a 3-3 draw, but that's exactly what happened as Roman Berkey shone brightly in LA, which, you know, hey, can't really disagree with that. That caption, you're just kind of wondering, you know, where that came from. Other news, maybe something that was overlooked was, not that we definitely needed him that night, but Ben Lunt didn't travel with us to LA, and a lot of people thought maybe he was going to get a City 2 start, but no, him and his wife welcomed the baby. So
for the record on that, and congratulations, Ben Lunt, no one has been aware that Ben Lunt is yeah. traveling with the club since the team started.
And that's not really a knock on Ben Lute either. Yeah, unfortunately. So congratulations to them. Always exciting to add another City fan into the mix. Isaac Jensen, a name we probably haven't heard in a while, but our player on loan with Viborg, he's been a regular starter for them, and he's actually been called up to Denmark's U21 men's national team. So just another City player who's getting a little bit of a national team experience. And so that's great to hear. I mean, we heard a lot of promise on him, you know, before, that he was destroying guys in practice and doing all that. It was just tough getting him the minutes, and when we did get him the minutes, it just wasn't performing. So you kind of felt like, how do we keep giving him the minutes when, you know, what we're hearing in practice is a little bit different than what we're seeing in game time? So it's just good to hear that, you know, we thought he needed to develop. Sounds like he's doing well and getting a national team call up for the U21s. It's great. Also, City 2, they kicked off their season Sunday. Unfortunately, it was a loss 2-1, but man, if you watch that game, their two goals kind of came completely against the run of play. It was towards the end of the first half, and City were dominating, and it was just kind of two fluky goals that caught them off guard, and they just never really recovered. John Klein did get on the score sheet, so it's good to see that, you know, he's kind of still in form and growing, and somebody that, who knows, maybe we'll keep an eye on for the future. He did make a couple call-ups last year. So it's just good things as far as sounds like, you know, development for some of our players that aren't currently with the team.
Yeah, it's a good point. A lot of Southland submissions out there, my understanding, right?
Yeah, we got a couple of good ones. And first off, thank you, as always, for sending them in. So on Facebook, we have first from Andy Shilarney. I'm sorry, I probably butchered your last name, Andy. We've met you a couple times. Great dude. He said, he brought up a good point. He said, people forget that AZ had the corner kick on the second goal. He says, I say the team battled well and got what they deserve. Coach is protecting players for a long season, and defense has to get better defensively. I mean, you're right. It's a long season. You have to allow a little bit of rotation here and there. And like we kind of touched on earlier, who with our injury woes at the moment, where do you replace AZ at this moment?
Yeah.
Alm's just coming back to fitness, so you need Indy out wide. Celio's in form and probably been our most productive player at the moment, so you got to keep him out on the left. So filling in that middle role, and you can't even really go to a 4-4-2 and play Sam and Klaus up top because who are you going to bring in the middle? I think Kojima, like I said, is still a little early for him to get the start. And Durkin, you know, tried with Ostrock, but Ostrock's been hit or miss as well. So I think when you look on that creative, I mean, AZ has, like we said, it's tough when maybe he creates these things, but there's no statistical thing on the other end of it.
Yeah, I agree with Andy. Like I said, the exact same thing at the beginning of it is that AZ did a lot in that game that may or may not go as noticed. I mean, for instance, on the corner, you can't even really tell who's taking it from the camera angle. You know, for whatever reason that night, it was kind of in a blind spot. But you know, you put a couple of balls into the mix, and that's all you can ask for out of that. And chances happened, and shots and goals actually were created from it. So I think that he definitely has played maybe better, at least this past game, than you know he's maybe gotten some credit for.
And you look at those, like, you know, like you touched on two instances, that one ball he played into Indy where it just went over, and then a slotted through ball that he played into Klaus that hits off the post. I mean,
yeah,
both those go a little bit different. People are saying what a genius AZ is in the midfield, so you're right. Tommy Beck had a good one. He said, was Saturday night an anomaly, or is the depth on the back end a big issue?
Yeah, I think depth-wise, there's been issues this whole time. I do think it's better than it was a year ago. Unfortunately, as we mentioned, we've got injury problems. And so, I mean, depth's a problem for sure, but I think that once people start to get healthy, that's going to become less and less.
I think depth's an issue for the league just with what they're, you know, kind of stuck with as far as salary cap and designated player spots and everything like that. I think depth's an issue all around unless you're into Miami. And also, we're in our second year. I mean, we can only make so many improvements in, you know, in the off season to try and better what we had last year, but you're still just slowly building that depth. It's going to be, you know, a couple years as far as really having true depth. But I do feel like, you know, we've kind of gotten there a little bit. My still worries are a bit on the, you know, outside wing back. If somebody goes down, you know, then we're kind of back to where we were as far as, like, you know, Totland or Durr has been a while. So that's still taking time. Obviously, we're seeing it in the center of the park as well. You know, Leuven and Blom out, that leaves a big hole down the middle. So that's where I think we're getting hit a little bit with that depth at the moment, because I think Parker going out, I think you still have Yarrow who is capable. And Heber played quite a few games last season and did fine for us. So center back-wise, I feel like there. And then obviously strikers, you know, that's just always going to be tough to replace. Yeah. And so, you know, who knows what they're looking at. And also, you just, it feels like you're struggling with depth when some of the players that you're expected to put in the numbers aren't.
And it's a good point, too, that Tommy makes. I mean, asking the question to begin with, but we said it a couple of weeks ago. I mean, there's 10 goals that aren't accounted for anymore because mm-hmm. Nico's not here. You know, yeah. You got 10 goals out of him last year. That's got to get made up
somewhere.
It's
like 20% of our goals from last year. So, yeah, big hole there. Brian Gabrowski, he has a good one. Are we better when AZ's starting, or would it have more impact for him to be an early or second half sub? So now with that, I think, like I kind of touched on before, with our current predicament right now, I think AZ should still start. Now when Leuven comes back, or Alm comes back, and you can maybe put Alm out on that wing, maybe you have Indy come in that role, and you have that option for somebody else there, maybe then you run that and just see if it works better. I know last year you really liked AZ coming off the bench, kind of like Celio, that energy he brought, and maybe it's just a little less pressure for him to feel like he has to do something for a full total 90. To where I do think maybe in the future, if things kind of keep going this way, unless he gets hot, then you obviously keep him in the starting lineup. But if I do think, now my big critique, I guess, with Carnell sometimes with his substitutions, whether it's Alm or some of these players, he makes them a little too late, and it just doesn't give him enough time to really truly make an impact. And I think AZ is one of those players that kind of specifically that you say in your submission here is early second half sub. I think if you're going to run him that route, you have to plan for it to be a 60-minute substitution so he has a good enough amount of time to actually make an impact.
Yeah, I don't have much else to say, like, as far as to expound on that. I agree completely, and I think where Brian's going with it is that, you know, he's saying that maybe he tends to lean towards thinking AZ would be a good second, early second half sub. And I agree with that. I said it last year a lot. It's nothing to take away from the guy, but when the team is full strength, if you can have him come in with fresh legs, you know, running at players that have very tired legs, that's an explosive weapon that you can't, you know, necessarily get if he's playing full 90 minutes. He's going to have to pace himself a little bit more. So I think when you think about him just being able to sprint and just run and run and run, yeah, bringing him in, you know, late 50s, early 60th minute, like, I think that makes a lot of sense.
And we've kind of seen it here lately where he's been taken off, you know, mid time to where, you know, that explosion has kind of come down, and we expect him to do so much running and try and create so much that, you know, he kind of is more a shock to the system, kind of like when Sam comes off the bench as well, a shock to those tired legs for the defensives. So maybe when the opportunity arises and we have that availability, yeah, maybe we go back to seeing AZ come off the bench a little bit. And then last one we got here is from our buddy John Love. He has a two-parter here. The first one is, can I just make a request that the mustache stays or comes back? Because the picture we posted was from the inaugural event where I was rocking the mustache. And I tell you what, man, you have yourself a nice beard as well. And, you know, I'm kind of rocking the beard as well. Maybe we go Summer City Stashes.
Summer
me and you.
City Stashes.
We just rock some Summer City Stashes, get them nice and groomed, and we rock those. And especially if we're on a win streak, we just kind of like playoff beards in hockeys. We just keep it going.
Yeah, so, I like that idea.
I'll tell you what, maybe summertime when it gets a little warmer, you and I throw in some city summer stashes there. But he said, for serious answers, let's talk about how you feel about Klaus and AZ not making gold contributions versus how their play might be enabling others for success. And I think your back half of that is where it is. I don't think that statistically, and we touched on this, they're maybe thriving right now. But what we're seeing off the ball or on the ball creating for others at the moment is getting better. You know, there are two chances like we talked about with AZ as far as just setting other people up. And then you see, and throughout the night, I thought Klaus was looking a lot better with his touch and his distribution off the two other players, which he did fantastically for us last season. And then the next person he gets it to just doesn't really do anything with it. So I do think that, especially on Klaus's end, AZ is a little bit more a touchy kind of, we're kind of stuck with what we have at the moment. But Klaus, for sure, I think is kind of growing in the game. And you see the frustration when he's not, you know, getting on the sheet. But it's just good seeing that his touch and the things that we saw him do so well are starting to improve.
So this is one thing that I've said, and maybe my criticism of Klaus all along has been, we did see some like back heel stuff where he would do a little bit earlier on last year. But I do think as far as chance creation and setting other people up for success, I think that Sam brings more to the table there. I think that, you know, his ability to play out wide, his speed, he's had some decent crosses into the box as well and has some assists. I mean, hell, he had one on the header to Nielsen, you know, Saturday night. So I do tend to think that the contributions exist a little bit more there. That said, though, I mean, I think you still got to continue to roll with Klaus, at least on a fairly regular basis. You know, maybe that's some sort of a rotation between the two of them. I would love in a world for them to coexist. I don't know if it can happen, especially when you don't really have a lot of extra depth. You want to go back to Tommy Beck's question, you know, at striker. That's really, really, you know, small as far as what's available there on the bench. Not having Nico, you really took it for granted maybe last year of having three legitimate strikers, you know, at least when those three were healthy like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of an issue. But I do tend to think that, as far as Klaus anyway, you know, he's a true number nine that needs to be scoring goals. And yeah. I get the frustration with him not doing it. He looked a lot better, I thought, Saturday night, I should say. But all in all, I mean, I think Sam, not only his finishing ability is really good, I think he does a little bit more, you know, out there to set up other folks and get contribution to the other players.
Here's a dilemma that I have is I get more excited seeing Sam come off the bench than I do Klaus, as far as I feel like there's going to be a big impact made. But with the current form you see right now, I think Sam should be starting.
Yeah, I agree.
Does that make sense? Like, when you see Klaus come off the bench, you're like, cool, yeah, but as far as, like we said with like AZ or Sam, you know, you look to take advantage of those tired legs,
right?
And that's not necessarily Klaus's game, to where when you see Sam coming off, you're like, oh, he's going to destroy these dudes' legs. Like, he's just going to run past them. You just get that feeling. But how do you keep not rolling with Sam right now? And so that's the dilemma I think, you know, Carnell has just as much as I feel like Klaus is a better starter, but Sam's the one in form.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely with that. And it's a weird sport because, like, you think of a starter in most sports as like, okay, that's like always the best option. Like, those are the guys that are going to start. Like, they. Mm-hmm. But in soccer, man, it's like the game is so long and grueling, you can still be super impactful coming off the bench. I mean, Carnell doesn't do it a lot, but you could even see, like, halftime subs where a guy like that comes in and starts to make an impact. You know, just, like, fresh legs right out the gate, I think, is a really, really cool thing. And I agree with you. But I also agree I'd rather see Sam start as well. And I think the reason why we kind of tend to think both of those things is because right now Sam is just playing better. And so you get excited when you see him on the field, whether he's starting or whether he's coming off the bench. You're just excited to see him out there. So
yeah, I agree.
Great questions, man. Like, that's exciting to get those Southland submissions. Keep them coming. We like answering them. I don't know if I add any value to that at all, but I certainly can opine on it a little bit. Eric, where can people submit those questions?
Yeah, thank you for sending them in. They're a lot of fun. And I like that they can be whatever they are, whether it's asking if I'll grow a mustache out or some, you know, thinkers like we got a who we start and everything.
More mustache questions.
More mustache questions.
That's easier to answer.
Yeah, I love that. But yeah, anywhere we take all South End submissions. On Instagram, we're South End Supporters. Our Twitter is SES_podcast_STL. And then make sure you're also following us on our Facebook page to keep up with all things South End Supporters.
Another episode in the books. As always, a huge thank you to our new sponsor, Ready to Live Wellness. And remember, if you're looking to get swole like Eric Cole, you got to go check out Ready to Live Wellness. It sticks, Eric. I think it rhymes.
I'm not hating it.
It makes sense. You're in good shape. And, you know, I mean, why not, right?
It's a motivator for me to stay in shape because you can't be saying that if I'm not staying in shape.
In a month, if they don't have a banner in that gym that says get swole like Eric Cole, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
But for real, check them out. Remember, 1530 South Kings Highway Boulevard. Visit them on their Instagram at R2L Wellness. That's Ready to Live Wellness. Thank you so much for listening. For Eric Cole, this is David Heck. You've been listening to South End Supporters. We'll see you next week. And until then, let's go City.